The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
And we are live, episode number 80 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Hi, Matt.
The Brett Perriman episode.
Brett Perriman.
When was the last time? Didn't he play for your school, Ken?
Troy Athens?
No.
Miami?
Yeah, he was from the U.
Yes.
His son, Sean.
Is he a Michigan or a Michigander that I don't recall? I don't think there's anybody famous from my high school.
No, referring to the U.
Because the only people that are famous from Troy is the serial murder chick.
Serial murder.
The monster.
That's an awesome way to start the show.
Yeah, her. She's from Troy. And then the dude from some band that I can't think of that
isn't
starts with
some sort of beauty queen from Troy, Michigan, too?
There might be. I don't know. Nobody famous.
This
came
is
from
the
my
episode
city.
To actually pop your 40s to because this is number 80. So,
yeah, is the Edward 40 Hands episode.
If you could drink two 40s, the first person to drink two 40s during the show, I will send you a KBS.
Oh, okay.
KBS.
I mean, if you're into KBS and 40s,
Dan,
that small Venn diagram of people,
aka Dan.
Dan's into KBS.
This is Dan right there.
It might be the barley wine, but if you can tweet us at Better on Draft or Facebook message us saying, I just finished two 40s.
Yeah, show us the empty 40s.
Why?
Yeah, you gotta record it during.
Yeah. Two empty 40s that you consumed today.
The honor system, folks.
Please.
No, I wouldn't even go to the honor system.
I will send you a bottle of something. Oh. I think it's a KBS. I don't know if, Nick, did I give you my stout or to the bar?
You gave me the stout for the
Are you saying
so then I have a bar
Bourbon County?
KBS? Oh, yeah, not KBS. Yeah. The Bourbon County barley wine.
Well, neither of them are craft beer, so it doesn't matter.
Ooh. I'll send you a thank you.
That's a bingo chart right there. Saying Founders is not craft
beer. Is that in the beat column or in the I column?
I will send you also a thank you Budweiser 25-ounce can.
That 1 ounce means something.
1 ounce extra for those hard workers.
What are you drinking over there, Matt?
I'm drinking some ass.
Norm's raggedy ass
IPA.
Booty smack.
Which I've been saying for a while is the best IPA that we have in Michigan. Not that I don't like Bell's. Well, I just much prefer this.
Them are some fighting words.
But this is my favorite IPA, and my favorite session IPA is ironically Gateway. So I guess two check pluses to these guys. And anytime they do a release, I go check it out. So you're a Nauticop. I don't know why we don't have some of that here.
Oh, it's not ready yet.
But I saw that on Facebook and I went right to that's me blown up like I thought I would. Same number, same hood. It's all good.
Oh my gosh.
Dear Lord.
Wow.
So anyways, Rob, what's going on?
Hey.
What are you drinking over there?
Damn. Hey. Drink beer every day.
Drink beer.
Come on.
Yeah.
It was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Hey, you smoked weed yesterday.
For your rolls.
So,
oh, my gosh.
I am double-fisted right now. I've got Stone Tangerine Express IPA and some Norm's Raggedy-Ass IPA, courtesy of Griffin Glow.
Yeah. I mean, Norm's Raggedy-Ass is there. I love my IPAs.
You love your IPAs.
To be honest, Norm's is definitely not one of my favorites.
Hey, no love lost there.
Hey, I tell you what, before the end of the night, you'll realize that I appreciate what if somebody likes a beer, drink it. I don't care.
Of course.
If I don't like it, don't force me to drink your damn beer.
Everyone has different tastes, man.
Mm-hmm. Angelo, what's going on?
Nothing. What's up?
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
Didn't know you were still part of the show, but I'm glad you showed up.
I mean, my once a month, I'm here.
What are you drinking over there?
I've got Norm's Raggedy Ass as well, and then I brought Duke Law Sweet Baby Jesus from D.C.
Jesus!
Man, I got in here just in time, man.
You did, you did.
Shit, you're catching all the fun here.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I look at the table, like, we're slowly, if you looked at, like, one of the very first weeks, you saw all the bottles, and we're slowly going to all cans now.
A bit.
Like, we've got, like,
wait till the summer starts.
Yeah. Wait till the summer.
Yeah. Nice cans.
Yeah.
What are you drinking over there, Nick?
Started off with Evil Twin Imperial Biscotti Break.
I see a nice little green can in front of you.
I got it's a hop slam in front of me.
Is it this year's or last year's?
That's this year's.
This year's?
Yeah.
Should have brought last year's to do with vertical.
That vertical.
I heard a little birdie has some last year's.
Right? Have you guys seen the article of the person who did, like, a 7-year hop slam vertical? It is interesting to say the least.
Who would actually keep? Never mind.
I don't think I have the attention span to wait.
You got three so far.
I don't think I have the attention span to wait 7 years to do anything.
I feel like I would like move in the next few years, and I just lose it in the move.
That's pretty much what like mine just got pushed to the back of the refrigerator all the time. New beer comes in, pushes it back
next to the old sour cream container.
But the issue is the baking soda.
You keep baking soda in the fridge?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That keeps your fridge clean, homie.
It's all the nasty smells.
I don't pay attention to that shit.
Wow.
This
is it because you can't see the second shelf?
I'm going to punch you.
All right, mark that.
Asshole.
6 minutes in. We got a short joke for Matt.
We'll put that in the end column.
That's got to be in the bingo. That's got to be
on the board. That's on the board. That's on the board.
Dude, I'm trying to make up for all the weeks I was gone when you were just like throwing them out there and then nobody picked them up.
Yeah, sure.
No. You're the only one that picks it up. It's not nobody picking. It's just you that picks it up.
I think there was like a comment where Nick said like, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I didn't say that.
There was something like
that. Seems way too philosophical for the show.
Yeah,
Nick.
Like
no
there was a yellow brick road joke. In
I don't
there
know. I don't have any kind of philosophical lines like that in my vocabulary or whatever.
So
just drink on this show.
As you can tell, well, I'm drinking a Tallgrass Buffalo Sweat. That's what it's called.
Booty sweat.
Somebody drank my other beer. I don't remember what it was though, so I'm not too mad. But I had like two beers that I left in the freezer last week overnight.
Oh. Did someone actually drink them?
Yeah, somebody drank one of them.
Well,
so this is the only one left.
That was penance for them being left in a freezer.
I know. I'm not upset.
Hey, I was told to put them in the freezer.
You're right.
You said you wouldn't forget them.
And I did. I did.
See how the show goes, people? See how the show goes?
This is what happens when I can't have nice things.
Well, I mean, you're probably actually, I don't know, maybe in the second segment or third, you will have a nice thing because we're going to crack this other bottle open.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, so there's two mystery beers?
No, it's not a mystery beer.
It's just a delicious beer that he brought.
I showed him what it was, and pretty much it was.
I threatened to steal it.
It was Christmas. He pulled it out the bag.
Did you have to get a new size jeans because it moved that much?
Well, that's why I wore sweatpants tonight. You know, I got to be a little loose.
That's what she said.
I'm drinking Buffalo
Jesus
Sweat. You know, as we were talking about bingo and stuff, I had a ridiculous time. I went to Northwest Arkansas.
On purpose?
Arkansas.
On purpose, yes. So this is
Ex-Arcana?
No, this is more like Oak Arcana. It's right on the border of Oklahoma and Arkansas.
Okay.
They have a ridiculous amount of breweries in that area. And I was looking at it because I was trying to see what was open. Yeah.
Before we get into this, I'd like to.
We'll introduce him.
Okay, just
I know.
I thought you forgot.
Oh no, I didn't. What? This is my introduction where I'm telling my story of how my week went.
Oh, it's been a segue.
Jesus, yes, of course we segue.
Right,
drink your Coors Light.
Give you a timeout, but it's way too early.
Irmer Grad, it's Merlot.
So again, I went there. Core, definitely a really good brewery. They have the same exact logo as Frankenmuth, though, the Dachshund.
Oh.
And I showed it to the bartender, and they're like, "Oh, they stole it from us." And then I showed them when Frankenmuth Brewery opened, and they're like, "Oh, we stole it from that." but I also managed to go to some soft opening called Ozarks, which kind of looked like Michigan Brew Works in the sense to where it looked like a dilapidated building that you shouldn't go in, that should be condemned. And yeah, it was really, really nice inside.
I'm going to guess they're a lot looser with the rules in Arkansas and especially in rural Northwest Arkansas.
Well, Northwest Arkansas has some pretty big cities.
Said no one ever.
I was in Siloam Springs. There's Fayetteville. There's a few. But I mean, they're like 80,000, 100,000 people
cities. Is that where the University of Arkansas is?
No, not at all.
Is
I don't know where Fayette, I don't know where University of Arkansas is, but I think I would have saw the actual college campus or a bunch of drunk people, just because I assume that's the only thing to do in Arkansas is drink beer and play football.
I mean, you were there, so.
I was there. I drank beer and I slept. I also went to Taco Bell, which had a chili cheese burrito, but they ran out of chili, and I was
married. Happens all the time. There has not been a Taco Bell that I have gone to that has advertised the chili cheese burrito, and it's actually been there. I get the same line every time. But you know what? They're going to put chili on something else on that same menu, but it's magically there for that. That was my awakening to, yeah, Fayetteville, Arkansas. The University of Arkansas.
Is that where it? Wow, I was there, and it just didn't seem like there was a college.
You know, because you were probably in like the Okemos, where it seems, you know, pretty mundane and natural, and then there's East Lansing right there where all hell breaks loose on the Red Cedar Rapids.
That's possible. So we do have a guest today.
The best brewer in Michigan, I might go out and say.
The best brewer in Michigan?
The best brewery in Michigan, I think.
No. I mean, it's in my top 250.
My favorite brewery.
Almost made him do a spit take. You're welcome.
Thank you.
This Kyle. Is the episode I've been looking for a long time.
Kyle from Griffin Claw.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Just dandy. It's Friday night. So
it is Friday. So what do you do for Griffin Claw?
So I'm the sales director for Griffin Claw. I don't really know what I direct, quote unquote, but that is my title.
Nice.
You direct sales.
Sure.
Sales ranger.
Yeah, I do. I direct a lot of things.
So before we were talking before, and you were at a few different places before you got to Griffin Claw.
Yeah, I've been in actually the distribution game for 9 years, mostly in craft distributors, Fabiano Brothers, Imperial Beverage, and Rave distributors. So I've been around the bend, whether it's Bell's, Founders, Shorts, Atwater, all of it's been in my pocket at one point in time.
Now Fabiano's North Michigan.
I'm originally from the Mid Michigan area. Graduated from CMU. And then when I did,
part of chips.
Yeah, I like it.
I prepped him for that.
He did. So I had to plug it a little bit. But yeah, grew up in the Saginaw area, so started there and then moved my way down here.
Do you still go back, I would imagine?
Yeah, I was actually there for Easter weekend. And I mean, I'm the only guy for Griffin Claw. So I was in Bay City this week. I was in Ann Arbor three times this week. So
how do you, I mean, we all know that like Metro Detroit is pretty craft centric, it's getting there. Like, how do you see the rest of the, I mean, not even in the state, but like Mid Michigan, which is, I mean, it seems like when you go to Mid Michigan, it's a lot of shot in a beer joints and even outlying Saginaw, Midland, Flint. And we know we've had people on from these rural areas that still can pull craft. Like, we had those guys from Centerville, Michigan, which is like 45 minutes out of Kalamazoo, which is merely farm town. So people are pulling up in their John Deere's and overalls drinking a KBS. But how do you see craft beer growing in these blue collar, no collar kind of communities?
Well, everything is becoming uber local. So, like Saginaw just got Saginaw proper, I guess, or Saginaw Township or Saginaw City, just got their first actual brewery, Lumbers, something like that.
So as I do a quick cheap plug, if you go to betteronDraft.com/MI beer map, has every single brewery and upcoming brewery.
There you go.
Right on a Google map overlay. So if you're looking for somewhere close or if you're doing a drive, you can check it out. So we'll say it's Lumbers. I'll look it up real quick. But you can keep going.
I doubt it is. I think it's like Loggers. There you go. Loggers.
Loggers.
I knew it had something to do with wood.
That's what she said.
Hey-o.
Gosh.
But no, like every one of these small cities are slowly getting their own. I mean, Flint has Tenacity. Bay City has Tri-City Brewing Company. Midland has Midland Brewing Company. And you can say what you want, but they're attracting their uber local crowd. Mm-hmm. And that they are then getting the rest of these small town, quote unquote, people into craft beer because, you know, it's their local joint. It's their local place. And then they're going out to their stores and grabbing, you know, Bell's and Founders and Atwater's and Griffin Claw's and Shorts and whatever. So these 300 and some breweries that are in the state of Michigan are not only benefiting themselves, they're benefiting everything.
So my question is, I guess my follow-up then is, I mean, I grew up in Romeo and Shelby-ish, so I grew up on yellow beer.
There you go.
So I'm going to guess these country folk are growing up on their 30 racks and 24s just like I did because it's quick and cheap and it's dirty. But you then have to go to your local brewery and you're paying $4 a pint. I mean, you don't really think that you're supporting a family and a business and all that stuff. You just think it's yellow, I'm going to drink it. How do you get them off that yellow beer and onto something? I mean, Norm's isn't yellow. This is your flagship beer. I mean, your second is Rojo, which is a very dark red. Yep. So how do we, as a community, outside of where everybody is, get people to drink something that's not urine looking?
Fit tasty. For the
bluntly put there, man.
Well, no, everything's going sessionable. Yep. So, like, the ABV in products have gone down drastically in the last couple of years, whether it's, you know, an all-day IPA was kind of like that foundation, that anchor that kind of moved that needle. And that's kind of appealing to that crowd. I mean, back when I used to sell, like, New Holland, Full Circle was what we called, like, a gateway.
Sure.
And we would, you know, if a bar didn't have craft beer or didn't have domestic beer on, that we would tell them put Full Circle on, because that's your gateway. That's your segue for those drinkers that are looking for that Bud Light. So that's kind of like the transition. But, I mean, are we going to appeal to them at all? I mean, you have to know your demographic. You have to know who you're going to sell it to. I mean, shoot, we still only make up, like, what, like 15% of the market still. It's still nothing. We're still a very small segment of the state, and it's in pockets. I mean, you look at Metro Detroit, you look at Grand Rapids, you look at a little bit of the college towns. They get it. But there's a huge portion of the state. There's still, like, 60% of the state that is still, like, 30 packs and yellow fizzy, and that's just because that's what they, you know, either what they can afford or what they live on or what they like. So
or there's that stigma of craft beer, maybe.
Yeah.
That's still probably scaring some people away from trying, maybe.
So I guess you would point out that sessionables are the next wave in beer.
Completely.
And I know that you guys try to be as cutting edge as anybody can be. Have you guys thought of, like, a sessionable red or sessionable amber? I mean, because everyone does a sessionable IPA.
Right.
But have you thought about sessionable stout, sessionable amber, sessionable different varieties of beer? Just because, I mean, you do have an amber called Rojo, which is great if you like your ambers.
Right.
But there's nothing in between. It seems like the IPA is the only thing that has an in-between.
Right.
So either you like an IPA or you like a session. But the other words, you know, the stouts, if you like a stout, you like a stout, great. And you can fall back and have a porter if you don't want one of those. But your red, you know, it's a great beer, but it's not for everybody. So is there a way we can give maybe a sessionable red?
Well, that's the thing. So, like, our whole philosophy is we don't want to blow anyone away with the alcohol on a day-to-day basis. So, like, even, like, Blue Sky, which I'm drinking right now, it's 4.5% alcohol. So we really, like, even Rojo is, like, 5.5. Sessionable is, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just it's a category or a concept that people kind of make up in their own mind. Sessionable really started because of the IPA thing, and that's a true session. But I mean, sessionable is Pilsner, sessionable is lager, sessionable, and we DQ'd our lager because it didn't sell. It is what it is. We had that Platinum Blonde, which is quote unquote a lager, and it just didn't move. And we were trying to appeal to that sessionable market. We have a Bohemian Pilsner, which is amazing Bohemian Pilsner.
The Grand Trunk, right?
Don't say that.
Uh-oh.
It's Rail District.
Rail District.
Rail District.
The Rail District Pilsner.
Grand Trunk no longer exists.
alternative facts. They just...
True, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
God damn.
Rail District, it's a fantastic Bohemian Pilsner. But it's one of our slower movers. We try to make all these sessionable products, but you have seven different demographics that you're trying to appeal to at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to appeal to the normal everyday craft drinkers. You're trying to appeal to, you know, I'm in DACBY. I try to appeal to that group. The people that really get craft beer and like the intricacies of, you know, we're making a sour wit with white grape juice aged in Chardonnay barrels right now. That's the crowd that we're going
for
that.
Serious? Or no, are you 100%. Just making that all up?
Okay. No, we are. That's
maybe 3 weeks ago I would have not believed him.
Are you going to cut it with cherry juice?
Oh, jeez.
No. What?
Can we stop with that joke?
Okay, fine. We'll retire that one.
Yeah. So I think the big thing, though, with, like, pills or lagers or anything like that, I think you have to have them on site and not necessarily distribute them. Like, you can't... the big issue with non-craft beer drinkers is that when they go to a craft beer bar, there's nothing for them to drink. That's their big thing. Right. Or their question is, what's close to a Bud Light or a Corona or a Labatt? So having those on, I would assume they're maybe not your best sellers, but they sell more in comparison in house than they would.
Oh yeah, all those are top five. I mean, you look at our top five. Blue Sky is number one in house sales. Blue Sky is number one. Raggedy is number two, and then it's Bohemian Pilsner Pale Ale and another Session IPA. So it's you know, these products that are 4.5-5% the most that are selling the most internally.
Because I think those pills and stuff, when they get out to distribution, I mean, a lot of people just don't. You're not going to attract the craft beer market because mm-hmm. the craft beer market, not many people want the pills. They don't right. want the lager. They want something a little more, you know, stouty, porter, IPA, you know, brown, red, blonde. So when you get to these lagers and stuff, it definitely just seems like it would sell more on premise or on site, like agreed. On premise at a bar or on site. Like completely, if you went to yeah. some random, you know, bar in St. Joe's or something, you know, where they're going to have a few craft beers, and we're talking like Fat Tire and Leinenkugel, even though Leinenkugel is not quote unquote craft, it's right. still crafty.
Still put it in that category.
You know, that Bohemian Pils is something people might be like, you know what, I'll try that because it's a Pilsner. I drink Pilsners, I drink lagers, mm-hmm. so I'm going to like it. So it's definitely something that comes to mind, because when we had Sellerman's on, that was the first thing that they had to do, is they had to make some type of in-house lager pils, which is their Thrasher, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Because it's such a blue-collar district right. over in Hazel Park.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that you guys lose on your, you know, I guess maybe called middle-of-the-road beers, like your Blue Skies, like your, what do you call it, Rail District?
Yeah.
Because when people go to a brewery, they expect these, you know, out of the norm, crazy hoppy, crazy heavy beers, and they don't like people. I just kind of assume, like, you go to a craft beer bar, you don't want to drink a Bud Light flavored kind of beer. You want to drink something that's super hoppy, something super different, something super malty or super dark. So it's almost kind of like inherently, like, a disadvantage for you guys. Even though it's a good beer, people always just want to try that weird new thing because mm-hmm. craft beer drinkers are just, to be honest, disloyal.
No, they're ADHD. They want the coolest thing, and I understand it because it's me too. When I walk into a restaurant, usually I look at the board and say, okay, what haven't I had? And that's usually what I order. And except, you know, I'm at fault too because I'm a craft beer lover first, a sales director second. But like internally, you know, we have 18 handles and the crazy stuff is on right now, but still those top five are still the sessionable. But is our brew pub necessarily like the best example of that? I don't know, because we're a restaurant, we're family oriented. We have the Birmingham crowd. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we're in the middle of a residential area where a lot of families come.
Do you get the Birmingham crowd or the Birmingham crowd?
The Birmingham.
Because downtown Birmingham gets the Birmingham crowd, but you guys aren't downtown.
No, we're quote-unquote the Rail District, which that's is
east side of Woodward, right?
Yeah, Eaton Street. Yep. So, no, we have a pretty good mix. I mean, we can walk to Troy, Clawson, and Royal Oak from our brewery. So we kind of have a really good mix, actually. I mean, parking is what it is.
But I'm kind of surprised there's not another brewery in Troy.
Yeah.
Like, Troy would seem like a great, like, they opened up Granite City.
I was going to say, hey, Granite City.
Ew.
Wait, that counts?
I was their first customer at Granite City, Troy. That, there's a ew. Photo of me with the owner.
Ew. Ew. Ew.
It was so
ew.
Funny, too.
Ew. 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 Drive the 3 miles in any direction and go to any other brewery. If you want to have the most... If you want to have the generic. Least memorable generic craft beers ever, go to Granite City. Like, if you want to have a bunch of guys doing those craft beer packets that you can get by the jug at any homebrew store.
Like the Northern Brewer mm-hmm. brew kits?
Yeah, just, this is called Three Hearted.
It should be called, like, Two Sharded because that's what it tastes like.
Ouch.
Good Lord.
Damn, son.
But, I mean, do you order up the Big Mick with that while you're at
Big
it?
Mick.
Why would I have the Big Mac? No, you just go right next door to McDowell's.
Oh, God. I'm sure they deliver.
I think that's the first time we've ever quoted Coming to America on this show. I'm okay with this.
Nice.
But I want to do a shout out. When I first moved back to Metro Detroit from Ohio, God rest that part of my body.
Gosh.
One of the first places I ever stopped at was Clubhouse BFD, which is a kind of Griffin Claw subsidiary. Yeah. Or however that brother station works.
It's family, in the family. We'll put it that way.
If you're ever in northern Oakland County, not Macomb County, because if that's the case, you're going to go to Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township at 27 Mile Road in Van Dyke. Go there if you're in Macomb County. Never cross the corner.
Hey, you got it
there.
That time.
I know.
I love you, Patty.
I'm waiting for the other drop.
Oh, yeah.
All going. Eyes will be on Matt. Go on, though.
Keep going.
But there are these things called fish tacos. And I never thought fish went in tacos until I went to BFD. And my world has been altered because of it. My earth spins at a different axis now because of the fish tacos.
I'm going to get you a shirt that says fish tacos saved my life.
No, it changed the game would be the phrase.
I like it.
Your life.
It's like a 90s hip or R&B song. Change the game for me.
Just fish tacos in the background.
There you go.
Lord.
What is it? Saving? Is it saving Sarah? Forgetting Sarah Marshall? No, it's was it
saving?
No,
saving
it's Silverman.
Forgetting. Silverman or
no,
saving Sarah
Marshall? Saving Silverman. Jason Segel.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No, it's where he becomes a real estate agent and he takes him off for fish tacos.
I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Those fish tacos are as memorable as the ones at Clubhouse BFD. Go there.
So have you guys started brewing at the Rochester Hills? Is that a production facility or is that going to be a brewery?
It will be a tap room. So Rochester Hills will be done by the end of summer. Our current facility in Birmingham is like 15,000 square feet, roughly. Rochester Hills will be 30,000 square feet, and Rochester Hills will be kind of a warehouse / we're moving our distillery there from Birmingham because we've been distilling since day one. And we're moving our distillery there and then our 17-barrel system to Rochester. And then Birmingham will have a 50-barrel system. So we'll go from 17 barrels, which we currently are, to 67 overnight.
Damn.
And we're still only in the state of Michigan. So we'll go from our capacity to basically the capacity of Shorts, which we will not use all of that because that's pretty idiotic.
Is the goal to get out of the state? Or
I mean, the natural path seems to be, but we still have a lot to take care of within the state. 80% of our sales are basically Metro Detroit and Ann Arbor. So you leave that little bubble and you start dissipating as the farther and farther you go. Ann Arbor, Detroit, and Metro Detroit really support us really well. But once you start going to Michigan and Grand Rapids in the west side of the state, they're very biased to what they have over there. And for good reason. I mean, they have amazing breweries over there, and there's nothing against that. But for some reason, we really latched on to the east side of the state because of the area that we're at.
Well, I think we saw that when we had our Best Brewery in Michigan little show because we definitely were a little more biased.
You
towards
have that top five? I can pull it up.
Yeah, but
they
were
on it.
They were on it. We definitely looked into more small batch breweries in comparison to the larger your Atwaters because we were talking about Dragon Mead, we were talking about Kunin, we were talking about Black Lotus. Keweenaw.
So one thing I know about you guys is you guys have a commitment to cleanliness, which I don't think anybody's ever talked about. Mm-hmm. People don't understand how much work goes into not producing the beer, but cleaning up after the beer.
Right.
And I think you guys brag about how clean your facilities are. What are they? You say they're surgical grade? Is that – or are they –
I brewed – when I came aboard, I basically demanded that I'd spend 2 weeks in the brewery to kind of, like, go through what happens and go through the canning line and the bottling line and the kegging and then the cellar and brew house. And brew house was the most taxing because majority of it was just literally just being as clean as hell. And cellar is literally just cleaning up after everybody. And, I mean, on top of other things. But a lot of it's just making sure – like all your butterfly clips and all your hoses and your clamps are exactly the way they're supposed to be. And we go through so much cleaning solution on a weekly basis. Not only that, but so Dan Rogers, our master brewer, Yoda, whatever you want to call him, Jedi, He's gotten to the point where he's at because he's been brewing since 1991, but on a normal day basis, you'll be seeing him spray the floor with cleaning solution. That's literally just what he does all day. It's just clean. And, wow. I mean, he thinks of the recipes, and he has people brew it for him, and then he goes and cleans.
So being a professional brewer is a professional cleaner.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about being a professional brewer, just stop right now and pick up some mop and glow.
No.
If you don't want to be Mr. Clean, just quit.
Well, if you can't keep your room clean, then you probably shouldn't be in the brewing business.
All brewers listening to this want to, like, kill me right now. But, that's a huge part of the process. I mean, to be... clean and to make good beers, right. you need to be very thorough with what you do.
I don't think that anybody like promotes as much as you guys do. Mm-hmm. I think you guys have like that's almost one of your niches is like we're so clean in our brewery right. that it's you know this is why our beer is good is because we're so crazy about. Not leaving, you know.
To give you an idea, we cleaned so much that our floor started rotting away. Like, we had to get new cement floors because we were cleaning it so actively. So we've had to redo our floors a couple times, and they're redoing them currently as we speak.
See, and I mean, as far as the home brewers, I mean, if you read any of the, like, the guide to home brewing from Papazian, it seems like it's in every chapter... at least once every three or four paragraphs. Keep your stuff clean.
Right.
Because if you don't, something's going to get contaminated. You have no idea how or what it was going to do. Wash your butt.
Oh, God.
Keep your stuff clean. And, hey, if your beer comes out bad, it was because of your ingredients, not because, you know, some of the work got on your shirt as it was going into the bucket.
But, if you think about it, like, the myth of beer is that, you know, a couple of hunters in ancient Mesopotamia had a jug of water that they carried, and then they left it to go hunt, and then hops and barley fell into it in the middle of what's now, you know, what do they want to call it, North Africa, the Middle East, and now we're just getting so clean about that. It's kind of weird how it's come so 180 on that idea.
Now we're sticking Captain Crunch and Oreos in it and shit.
So you have a bottle that you started to slowly crack open. Why don't we talk about that and crack it open?
Let's crack it open. So yeah, this is Sour Trooper. This is the newest 22 that we make. We're slowly as a brewery actually getting rid of 22s.
Why is that?
The 22 market in the state of Michigan is not exactly what it should be.
What do you mean by that?
As a whole, the United States is actually, like, all the breweries in the United States are slowly getting rid of 22s.
Hmm.
As a distributor, selling 22s was a rough go. There was only a couple from the state of Michigan that would move actively, like Dragon's Milk and maybe some of the Arbor Sours and stuff like that. But for the most part, 22s are sheltered.
But your Buffalo's always do good, and your
random,
like, what, Kim Jong, whatever.
Miso combative.
Yeah, when it comes to that stuff, when it's special and when it's, like, sought after, quote-unquote, or a barrel-aged product, yeah, that stuff will move. But for the most part, you know, as a normal 22-ounce market, it's just not something that's profitable anymore. Going into stores and seeing the dust collection that 22s are now is just a joke.
Well, right, we're talking from, you know, 5 years ago when you had to find a singles bottle shop.
Right.
You know, you're talking Zatuna Liquor, one of our sponsors over on Rochester Road, just south of M59.
Hey, Jack.
You know, hey, Jack, yes. they didn't have singles until maybe a couple years ago. You know, they were selling strictly six-packs. And when you go into... your difference between Jack and 8 Degrees or Jack and Merchants, you know, that's where the 22s came in, is that you were able to, you know, purchase it, buy a single without having to invest in a six pack. But now you can literally buy a single anywhere.
Right. Here. And that's the thing is I think a lot of people look at that and see 22. Like, we look at it as like, okay, that's a sharing tool. Go drink that with your friends. But I think a 12-ounce bottle is a lot more just beneficial because you can drink that in one sitting.
You're supposed to share those.
What do you,
sure.
I finished my 22 today. It's in the fridge at home.
That was a.
I mean, like a wine stopper.
I just put the cap right back on top.
is it? What is Shark Tank? It's like a balloon that goes in the bottle to stop the air coming in. Did we miss that Shark Tank episode?
I missed that Shark Tank episode.
What do you got? I mean, so is it going to be all 22s or is it going to be like 22s that can age that are going to stay? And like, because I mean, you don't want to have like Project Clementine at 22.
No, we stopped that last year.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. But well, like, your Flying Buffaloes, your Coffee Stouts, those can be in a 22 and just, I mean, for, you know, lack of a better term,
right.
They can shelf turd. And when somebody finds them, right. They're like, oh shit, I found a Flying Buffalo in East Tawas, you know, dude, here I am. It's 3 years old. It's covered in.
You don't even have to go that far right now.
Well, I mean, you could just go to Champagne. Because I'll tell you right now, about that.
The Great Lakes Roasting Flying Buffalo is probably what has been one of my top fives the last 2 years.
Yeah, but my thought is when you leave like the Metro Detroit bubble and you go to East Tawas or you go to Sag Nasty.
What?
Or Burton.
Sag Nasty.
The Gnaw.
Caro.
Caro.
All these places.
Caro.
Caro.
Where the hell did that come from?
You can throw some Atlanta love
in there, Montrose?
Too?
No, Caro's.
Yeah, no, but like, where did you pull Caro from?
Owosso.
Owosso. Okay.
Hey, I know
someone that has family in Owosso.
But like that, like... You always find those places like the local in Centerville, Michigan. Go ahead and go see them. They're right off 94 in Centerville, Michigan. Hey. But they probably have a good single selection there. And it's a place where you wouldn't think you can find a decent bottle, and then you do find that 22 because it's only 22s. Right.
Well, we're not getting rid of the products that go in 22s. We're just transitioning them to 4-pack 12-ounce bottles.
Mm-hmm. How come not cans?
Well, we are doing some bourbon barrel-aged stuff in cans in the fall, but... I don't know. We like bottles for that reason. I mean, the only reason we really didn't do bottles in the first place for a lot of our stuff is just because of the skunkability. But with a lot of the product that we'll come out with, whether it's sour or bourbon barrel, we're not really that worried about
Speaking of sour, we got the Sour Trooper.
Yeah, so Sour Trooper.
What's the thoughts here, everyone? Oh.
So it's a red Flemish ale aged in bourbon barrels for about 9 months. We made a super sour batch and then a normal batch and then blend them together at the very end.
Damn.
To me, this is the kind of sour that I like. It's just mild.
Yeah.
It tastes like ketchup.
Yeah. What the?
What the fuck are you doing?
This is not ketchup. Soap.
A little sweet, a little sour.
Yeah.
See?
Put this on your fries.
I don't get ketchup. I think it's good.
No, I mean...
I understand where you're coming from.
Do you want to dip your fries in there?
Yeah, you could.
I mean,
it's vinegar.
So.
No, drunk fries. Yeah, like get those crack fries, dip them in this. Beer and alcohol, it always works good.
Oh, yeah. Fries it does, actually. Yeah.
You guys see the ketchup? No?
No.
No, okay.
No, this is all you.
Because I get the sour on the front end and that, like, savory on the back end.
I see what you're talking about.
Don't feed it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Ketchup.
It's not bad.
Ketchup.
Oh, no. No, it ain't bad at all.
No, I like it.
So this is it out yet? Or
yeah.
Can you?
It's at the brewery. Just went to distribution. Easy word to say. This week.
Nice.
This formerly known as Red Rock. It used to be.
Can we talk about the label?
Sure.
Explain it for the listeners. What are we seeing?
It's a trooper.
Yeah. It's
a weather trooper.
Sure.
Like a
weather category.
Like a certain X-Men
dark and
character.
Stormy night trooper.
See what you did there. Yeah. It rides the line of... Okay.
some famous white Disney characters.
But it's no longer white.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a black one.
So
we don't see in color.
So I got to ask this question because the labels are what actually draws me into Griffin Claw product.
Don't ask about that one Mike Ilitch former living.
No. I want to ask about the Miso Ornery one.
Yeah.
What's with Kim Jong? What's up with Kim Jong Il? Is there one person that's doing the labels for all of them?
It's one guy, and we all collectively kind of get together and think of names for the most part. Mm-hmm. Some of them kind of just sneak through. But for the most part, it's a collective effort. But that whole Kim Jong-un bottle, Miso Ornery, was going to be a series, actually.
Okay.
And we were calling it the Dictator series.
You did put, like, the current... Commander-in-Chief almost.
That was before he was Commander-in-Chief, was in that series, by the way.
Yeah, because the artwork on the Miso Ornery and the, I believe...
Moolah.
Oblivious was, I think, was the one with our current commander in chief.
No, that's
Mula. That was
it Mula?
That was Mula.
I thought it was Oblivious. Yeah. But isn't Oblivious? I think Oblivious was still. Is that part of the series?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because everybody's looking. Because I've seen on Dakby and some of the other boards where somebody was like actively pursuing for Mula.
Actually, the Miso Ornery was like one of the first ones that we shared on this show.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, Mula actually got us, and we got some little death threats in that stuff.
Ew. Well, as we mentioned Trump that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft podcast, episode 80.
I'd like to make a quick announcement.
Yes, hi.
Besides their He's great pregnant. Liquid, Griffin Claw has just given me a 16-ounce can brown bag koozie, if you will, which may be the coolest, ghettoest, craftiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, nothing says paper and bag like Birmingham.
I want
right,
not
say,
like Birmingham.
I want all of you guys to have this.
That's not,
I mean,
dude, that's not ghetto. That's bad and bougie.
I was going to say, that's something that you can pull off.
I'm not allowed to say that song, Rob. This is like, I can't say it.
This is like Needy League's Kim Zolciak kind of bullshit. So, like, well, mini wine bottles.
That's perfect for, like, DTE or DTE.
It's Pine Knob.
Where do you work for? Do you work for Pine Knob?
Yeah, that's heresy for you.
We just own the naming rights to that place. We don't own the place.
I have plenty, so it's fine.
So, yeah, it'd be great for DTE or Tigers pre-gaming.
Or just not.
It's a tight fit for 22.
That's what she said. You know, I used to sell beer, and I would go to golf courses, and I would say to them, don't be a dick and sell your golfers 12-ounce cans. Sell them 16-ounce cans, give them more beer. It's going to cost you the same, if not even less, at some points. And you can charge them more. And they say, oh, but by the time they're drinking, it'll get warm. A, don't be a pussy and drink a beer.
Come on.
Or B, this is the perfect thing.
Exactly.
So go to Griffin Claw and buy these little keep it classy.
Cans keep it classy.
I was going to say, that's a good thing to start selling to those golf courses. Be like, hey.
Keep canned beer great again.
Oh, God.
Wait, that made no sense.
Make canned beer great again.
I have to sneeze and it's not coming out. Like, everyone stop talking. I'm like, God damn it, keep going.
I'd like to just say, awesome. Like, I mean, you should have taken this on Shark Tank and, like, utility patented any more than, like, the usual 4 inches of a koozie, utility patent that, and just like this, because this is great. I love it. So I'm sorry.
I like it. Thank you.
But. So real quick before we get into the news, because I'm definitely interested in hearing, you guys got death threats?
Oh yeah.
For Mula.
Yeah, we had some other stuff. We said our beer selection is huge, and we had some guy basically say that he was gonna like burn us down.
Did he think that like you had child sex prostitutes in the back room? Is that what it was?
Well, isn't that Pizzagate?
Yeah, Pizzagate. Yes. Yeah,
so. Griffingate.
Was it Alex Jones who was pretending to be an actual person doing that?
Wait, oh, that's great. By the way, that story.
Wait, I thought Mula was a golden shower ale.
Oh, what? It's a milk stone.
Like, I see where you were going, and I love that.
Oh, man.
And I think it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, apparently.
Mula version 2.
Maybe we'll have to come out with more Mula.
Or maybe it should just be a golden shower stout.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds disgusting.
It does.
Just put some flour in it and call it a little...
We're not. You would turn his mic off, please?
Yeah, we're going to go to the news now with Robert Everett III.
I have no idea. Jeez.
Nope, the news.
Just throw my whole damn name out there.
Get the hard copy music.
The third.
We'll do it live. Don't worry about that.
Probably just got like five new Facebook.
All right, Bill.
For that.
I'm adding you as we speak.
So since Ken decided to just kind of move this one up to the top, it was kind of funny because a couple places got popped in the news this week in terms of underage beer selling. Ruth's Steakhouse in Tennessee got dinged as a server sold Michelob to two 19-year-olds in a sting operation.
Do 19-year-olds know what they were ordering?
Apparently, there's been some issues where the authorities
think it's actually beer.
Well, the authorities apparently knew that. They are not very they're not very strict when it comes to carding, so they decided to sing.
It's fucking Tennessee.
Yeah, I know. But they sent a couple, well, we'll just call them operatives for lack of a better term, underage operatives to go in there, and sure enough, server just served them a couple Michelobes.
I'm curious if they get to drink it.
What does Chris Rock say? No, what does Chris Rock say if she looks 16 and she says she's 16 and she's damn near 36?
40.
I don't think they do. It's probably part of the stipulation with being part of, Tennessee's version of 21 Jump Street. And if that's what they want to do.
21 Blumpkin Street.
Right. I don't think they get to drink it. But
I've got a Michelob. Let me get a fucking prize.
The Chattanooga Beer Board, obviously, with the violation, voted to suspend their beer sales for all of 3 days.
Ooh. That's so stupid.
Right. So there was that one. And then there was another one that came up with a CVS in California where an 18-year-old walked up with a 24-ounce bottle and came up with his own license, which pretty much said it had the sheet on it that said provisional until age 18 in 2012, which pretty much gives you an idea. You know how you always see those signs that say, we card everyone under 40?
At the card that you
your ass is under 40. But the clerk just decided, apparently looked at it twice and said, I would not have guessed it. You must get asked a lot. And just looked at it and just sold the beer.
So apparently the selling of to underage is really a thing here in Chattanooga, because this Ruth's Chris
here
is
in Chattanooga?
Yeah, Chattanooga.
Chattahoochee?
Yeah,
Chattahoochee.
Exactly. Because they also mentioned two other places that also got caught as well, a billiards hall and an Ichiban steakhouse.
Oh.
The steakhouse actually got caught for the third time.
Oh, then you're revoked.
No, they're actually only suspended for 30 days.
What? That's it? Well, first of all, I've been to an Ichiban steakhouse once in my life, mm-hmm. and I ordered just a shot of Jack, and it was probably at least 50%, if not more, water.
They cut it.
Probably not real liquor at the Ichiban steak. Mm. It was literally, I said, I asked for a Jack and Coke.
Sure.
This is like water and Coke with Jack flavoring.
Right.
And they said, oh, we'll give you another one. And it was just as bad. And it was still $7.50 water and a splash Coke.
Another thing about this billiards hall, this has nothing to do with selling to minors. They threw on, they got a 3-day suspension that starts April 27th. That's for selling to a 20-year-old man the same night a man died inside the bar.
Oh, because,
relevancy to the selling of minors. Someone died on this bar when they sold it to a minor.
That's important.
But nobody's addressed.
That's the news for you.
Are you suggesting that they have not addressed the murder of a man in their bar?
Right.
But the underage drink.
It's the underage drink.
The highlight of that was selling to the 20-year-old rather than the man dying in the establishment.
So is this a journalistic problem or a state problem? Or like, we're really worried about you selling drinks to a kid. That guy died. He was going to die anyways. Because we're Tennessee. We're not the healthiest state in America.
Hopefully it wasn't like one of those town brawls or something.
I just don't understand with a bar like Ruth Chris's where everyone's there's it's not a party bar.
It's expensive as all hell.
There's no reason to not card everyone. Well, there's no reason to not card everyone.
Yeah.
But specifically at a restaurant where you're literally going to be sitting down for an hour and a half eating.
Two.
I don't know. I've never been to Ruth's.
I've been there. It's expensive as shit.
Well, I guess kind of one of the funny things that, going on about the second one that happened to CVS in California was that despite the clerk basically saying, I wouldn't guess you get asked this a lot, the decoy didn't say anything after that. Didn't say a word and just bought the bottle. And then now the store they basically got issued a 15-day suspension.
So
the Beverage Control Board, they have this basically what they're looking for in decoys is that they got to meet their certain standards to qualify as a buyer. Basically, being under 20 must display the appearance of someone underage, must produce his or her own identification or carry no ID, and must answer truthfully any questions about his or her age.
It's like, an affidavit, basically.
Right. And the on the second article, the writer of that article, Jim Porter, doesn't like the decision that happened with CBS, because saying that, you know, it's clear by the clerk's comments that she believed the decoy was 21, yet the decoy didn't say anything at all. And feels that, you know, to promote fairness, to at least say something, to say, you know, either, well, obviously they can't lie, so to basically come out and say the truth that I am not 21. I mean, do you think that is entrapment?
It's clearly entrapment. I mean, if you don't, I mean, even though if you don't ask, but the state going in and trying to prove somebody wrong is, I mean, legally not entrapment, but it's got all the mixings of it's one of those walks like a duck, talks like a duck entrapments.
Yeah. Is this where you have to tell me that if you're a cop or not?
Which isn't actually a thing. So if you are selling marijuana or anything to anybody, if you ask them, are you a cop, they don't have to say yes if they are a cop. So
I learned that on Breaking Bad with DJ Qualls.
I think I did. No, I think I saw the same thing. It might have been legit with DJ Qualls, Jim Jeffries, but I do recall the same thing. But no,
I don't understand why people don't invest, you know, in especially for time, like the time and age where everybody, nearly everywhere, sells alcohol now. It's almost
right.
Yeah, it's harder to find.
That's true in Michigan, but not in other places. Like we just talked to somebody who I think it was somebody from Maryland. I can't think of who it is, but they always sell beer in state sanctioned places. So like we're very unique here in Michigan, where you can buy beer on the corner
gas station.
But you can't if you go to a lot of states in America, you have to buy it in state sanctioned places.
But the thing is that there are first of all, you should always check IDs, no matter how. Like when I worked at places and I took a credit card, I always asked for an ID, whether or not, no matter what. Like I didn't care who you were. Like if this is your mother's card, I'm not taking your mother's card. You know, and this that was more common at Laser Tag when I had the teenagers from Beverly Hills and Birmingham coming in here with their parents' credit
cards.
Sorry,
Captain Laser Quest.
But that's the thing though, is working there, and I would ask for IDs no matter what. I don't care if you sign it on the back. I want to know who the hell this is, because chargebacks are a pain in the ass, and I'm not going to be put, you know, on the line if you're here buying credit card, you know, buying something for your friends, and then you're going to try to rip me off.
You have no idea how many times, like on my credit card, I wrote CID on the signatures strip.
Don't matter.
No, nobody's ever asked me
to
see my ID.
They ask if you're out of state, but not in Michigan.
Yeah, but again, we have, like, I don't know if it's something that they can or can't get, but look at every casino we go to. Every casino, they have those little machines that tell you what the age of the person is by swiping the strip on the card.
Yep. Yeah.
And at that point, you know, you have to, I don't know why you just wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't think that'd be a truly expensive.
Yeah, but if you swipe the card and it's a different person, it's, I mean, it
doesn't
add up.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, at that point, you have a more CYA mentality of where I looked at the person, the ID was legit, it registered over 21, the ID looks like the person.
Yeah, but, I mean, how easy would it be to say, yeah, person A came in, gave me person B's, you know, credit card. I've got an untrained server. They swiped it and then swiped their credit card and didn't really pay attention. You know, it's all litigious. It's litigious BS in this world. You know,
I ID'd a girl last summer that had a girl's ID that I graduated high school with.
Really?
Trap.
Wow.
Did you start trying to ask questions like, oh, yeah, I remember you from Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones.
No, I basically, English I told her, I said, class. Hey, you're not Megan. Get out of here.
like it was her
I assume
ID,
it was her younger
or was it,
sister.
Or was it just the photo?
It was probably a real ID. I'm not an ID expert, but I just, you know, at first glance.
To be fair, I did give my, when I turned 21... I was 19. I had my old expired ID.
Which are you pointing to me?
Because you're small. You'd be taller at the time.
How old are you?
Don't you think it's a rite of passage, though, to use a fake ID? I did it twice, and it worked.
Yeah, no,
times.
Like... What, oh, like,
I never used a fake ID. I had this haircut when I was 16.
When I was, like, 21, like in Michigan, in anyways, your ID expires every 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a friend in St. Louis, or had at that point, and I gave her younger brother who
did he
was,
die at a bar in Tennessee?
No, we just
damn.
We got into a knife fight, and his cock beat my cock.
What?
You know, a cockfight.
Excuse me.
So I gave her younger brother my ID, saying, "Hey, my ID is expired, but it says you're 21, so here you go." And who knows how that worked out? But I think it's one of those rite of passages. It's not like you're a good or bad person, but it's one of those things like, "Hey, let's try to beat the system because." We know you're going to drink it at 18, so go nuts.
I went out to the bar with a girl, and I had her ID, and they let two Alexes into the bar. So, I mean, I don't know. Wow. I think everyone should try it.
You have this distinct advantages, and they're called breasts. And for us, we
some
did,
guys have those, too.
Don't hate.
Just lactate.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that we're in such a weird area, especially being in Metro Detroit, because the legal drinking age of Metro Detroit is 19.
Yep.
If you have a passport, though.
But you're talking, at least in this group of area, we didn't need a passport when we wanted to cross.
We didn't, like, 10, 15 years ago, but you do now. You need a passport.
Oh, I know you do now. You just need an enhanced driver's license even. You don't even need a passport.
Now you do.
No, you don't.
Okay, well, fuck you.
I mean, if you have a passport or a passport card.
I was
going to
say,
I don't have
an enhanced ID just because I already have a passport. Yeah. But, yeah, the enhanced ID was specific, especially in this area, just because we cross the border more often than not.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
You know, I cross the border. I go to Caesars to gamble more than I do in Detroit simply because it's smoke-free.
I don't gamble because I know that if I once got the fix, I would be just a...
I have a bad...
Oh, give me a Russell Westbrook for 20 bucks.
I have a bad feeling that if they had true sports betting over at Caesars, you would be there like once a week minimum.
Me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have a bookie, to be honest. So. And I'm negative 210 right now.
That doesn't surprise me.
Of course. But he's on my softball team, so... Yeah. I just cover softball teams. We're good.
So when Matt's, you know, or someone's looking for a replacement on a softball team because somebody's knee just got bashed in, Matt limps in.
No, I'm the pitcher. I can't be replaced. I've got the moves like Maddox.
That's what he said.
More like Tom Glavin.
Tom Glavin.
No, more Smoltzy.
Smoltz.
You know, he was traded for Dula Alexander.
Yes.
That was a great trade.
That. It was,
Rob,
that worked out.
What's news number two?
News number two, just one real quick. I don't know if any of you guys saw it pop up on Dakby or anything, but Dragon's Mead is at it again with
Dragon's Milk?
Another
Dragon's Mead.
Another.
Try that one again.
Dragon's
Milk.
Dragon's Milk.
New Holland.
From New Holland. Thank you. With another variant coming from their production, they're going to do another Dragon's. It's going to be Dragon's Milk S'mores Bourbon Stout.
Not Mexican chili or whatever the
Mexican spice cake which I imagine like,
that just came out.
I imagine like chili with like stout. That sounds horrible. Like actual like a bowl of chili.
I'm trying to think. I think
Mexican cake, isn't that like Mexican hot chocolate chili? That's good.
No, because Mexican hot chocolate's better.
Yeah, so it's that non-sugarized chocolate. So it's just gonna be like bland cocoa nibs. Ken, let me ask you a question.
Answer.
You're a big fan of brown beers, ales, right?
Love brown ales.
So, if
did you know that I like brown ales?
I never would have thought, but I kind of put it together. So, if a brewer said we have a brown habanero beer,
nope,
no,
would you just say no? Like nope. If it was world class brown ale mixed with habanero, you would just pass.
I would be like, why did you ruin a perfectly good brown ale?
Well, fair enough.
I don't do spice. Like that's the thing. I remember when I went to the Fall Beer Fest and somebody said, here, try this, and I didn't even think to ask. And it was a ghost pepper beer, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Like the next 10 minutes is the worst 10 minutes of my life. And I only had a sip. But that's the thing though, is that I'm just a wuss when it comes to spice. Like I honest to God worked at a Mexican restaurant last week and I didn't eat anything there because they didn't have anything that I was like, can I get a quesadilla with cheese and chicken and that's it? No. I'm like, Okay, then I just won't have anything. I'll just eat your chips.
They wouldn't give you a quesadilla with just cheese and chicken?
No.
That sounds like
kind of awful Mexican restaurant is that?
There's one that has
is that
pre-made.
Arkansas again?
This was not Arkansas. This was in Spring Wells.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a Mexican town in Detroit.
Oh, on the Springwell Street. And like super Mexican. Yeah, I got
Super Mexican town.
Just stay north of 10.
It's west of Mexican Village.
Just stay north of 10. Jesus.
I can't. I live south of 10. Yeah.
This is what do you call it? We're not talking Dan here, who doesn't go north of 14.
I live at like 8 1/4 miles. So I can't.
Eight and a quarter.
I live at like 0 miles.
That's a quarter too far.
Quarter.
Jeff Ferndale. Yes.
I was going to say, no, Detroit.
GP Dubs.
I know.
Gratiot downtown really needs to get bike lanes because I almost got knocked off my bike twice this past week, and it was annoying.
I love you get knocked off one of these days.
Wow.
That was very rude.
What? I know, right?
Funny jokes.
So anyways, what you were going with Dragon's Milk, not Dragon's Mead.
Dragon's Milk. So the Campfire beer is going to be 11% ABV, brewed with Glacier and Nugget hops with hints of toasted marshmallow and graham crackers to complement the chocolate character. According to the proposed label, it pairs well with almond butter, hipster shit, fruit cobbler, and roasted sweet potatoes. More hipster shit. Come
on. Roasted sweet potatoes?
Yes.
Who roasts sweet potatoes? Put them in pie.
I like almond butter and sweet potatoes.
Wow. Angel, she's fired.
So do I. All right. No other information has been provided as to when this is coming out, as they've just only registered the label with the ATF. I guess there are so many damn variants now of Dragon's Milk. Is this jumping the shark?
Did Milkshake Stout jump the shark?
Uh-oh.
12 days of yes.
Okay. Well, I guess you answered your own question.
But you know what? You got something.
Go for it.
No. I was because doing the yes, Daniel. It was pretty much...
Let me...
The
delete.
No,
the
delete.
Moment.
That's just one.
I love the milkshake. I love the chocolate milkshake. The blueberry pancake is pretty good too.
The Imperial is pretty good.
The moment I cracked open that Santa's breath, I was just okay. I've had enough.
But like you guys both like came yourself with the coconut thing.
Oh, that was so good. The coconut rum.
So like maybe it's really like good. It's a good base. So they just keep trying new things with it. Like you got to
find out what sells, what doesn't.
Yeah, you
like,
try new
like
things.
How the triple mash was terrible, but the coconut rum was amazing.
Oh, the triple mash is
terrible. Terrible.
But like,
terrible.
You could, I mean, New Holland, to be honest, I think it's like a fringe. I mean, everybody knows about it, but nobody like drinks it unless they have that thing that works out. And when that thing works
New
out,
New Holland's
great.
Dragon's Milk is literally the definition of consistency.
But the thing is, they want to be that thing where they can just throw it in. Like it goes back to the whole craft beer drinkers are the least loyal fuckers in the world.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
So I am. You got to keep throwing new shit in, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't,
you move on to the next thing.
So you know what? They're gonna put this shit in their beer.
Yeah.
It's gonna bomb, and then you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna throw more coconuts in next time. And they're gonna sell it to Ken.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, craft beer drinkers being so unloyal, having the ADHD. Mm-hmm. We all go to, like, and let me see if this is more of something about me or if it's something about, you know, a consistency. But let's talk about a brewery, you know, and each one's going to be different, but we all go to one brewery more often than not. So, as Matt shakes
his head. I don't think I've been to a brewery. I mean... I guess you could throw it at me first, I guess. But I went to Baffin because it's just my local brewery. And I drank their Young, Dumb, and Full of Rum, which is kind of an M&M lyric.
That's a great
Which I don't like porters, and it's a porter, because of the mouthfeel. But it was really good.
Does it taste like ketchup?
No, it doesn't.
Mustard.
I'm not trying to knock the beer. I love Griffin Claw. I will buy it every time I see a new one.
But that's the thing, though, is that if you go to a beer bar and you're looking for a beer and you see Griffin Claw and you see the Norm's Raggedy Ass, you're more inclined to buy that before you buy anything else.
You know, I guess here's where we go back to the whole concept of you guys sell more of your Bohemian Pilsners than the other beers. It's because... I know if I drink fucking call it dumbass brewery out of XYZville.
I love that place.
They got, you know, but I'll drink that new beer once, and then I'll go get an Orm's Raggedy Ass or a Gateway, because I know I can drink the Gateway, and it'll be good beer. I'll choke down, or maybe I'll just say, if it's that bad, I'll just say, no, I'm not going to drink this anymore. There's a place at, like, 15 Moravian. If you've ever been there, you can really only drink one of their beers. The other ones taste like your tongue is basically the toilet paper there.
I was like, what's that? I've been, and then I realized what you were talking about.
Yeah, I get it.
But like if I go to any bar and I see Norm's on the handle, I know I can drink that beer.
I have to see if I can find this beer for you too. I just found a ketchup beer.
It's gotta be. It must be Canadian, like the Canadian Lays
ketchup chips.
It's called McKella Duck from Coalition Brewing Co. out of Portland, Oregon. McKella and you know what? Duck. I have a friend in Portland, Oregon, and I am going to be
ordering a beer,
asking him if he can ship this to me.
Mule.
But you know what? Like, I think Graphic Law has become one of those things in Michigan where you can order it and know that you're going to drink a beer. Like, having Powers sales data in my head, a keg of Norm's goes every 2 weeks. So if you are in a bar, a bar will sell a keg of Norm's Raggedy Ass in probably 2 weeks. So if I go and I drink...
Well, why don't we ask Angela, how fast does Norm's go when you have it at Baffin?
Even have it on tap, or even that classy?
Brown Iron Brew House.
27 and Van Dyke in Washington Township, Michigan.
Represent. I feel like probably, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. Everything goes. Yeah. Everything turns pretty quick.
Everything turns quick at Brown Iron Brew House. Thank you, Tim and Patty.
I have a quick question.
Thank you, Tim and Patty.
I love you.
Real quick question. You guys started putting in bottles.
Yes.
Why? Why do you go from 4-pack 16-ounce cans to bottles? Because now I see it right next to the goddamn cans. I don't get it. Like,
it was kind of a I'm trying to be politically correct on this statement.
Is this a Gary Thompson thing?
Is this a conversation we need to have in 4 minutes when we go off air?
Correct. So there's an unfortunate. So I come from like the craft background of like Imperial and Rave, where the independent accounts were like my blood. They were the accounts that the only accounts that I serviced, and so now in this sales director position, I never really realized how important the Meyer and the Krogers of the world are to our livelihood, and they're huge to us. If you took all the Meyer in the state, I'm trying really hard not to say Meyers because I'm a mid-Michigander.
Yeah, you're Michigan.
Yeah. But you're also pluralizing multiple Meyers, so yeah, all the Meyers would be proper.
I'm still trying so hard. So if you take all the Meyer stores in the state of Michigan, they're leaps and bounds our number one account by far. I know that's unfair, but there's 100 and some Meyer in the state. But when certain chains and when certain stores ask for something and they can come with the backing of we'll support it X amount, it's hard for us not to pay attention.
So I guess are you kind of saying that like Meyer said put it in bottles and we'll put it in the store?
No, Meyer wasn't the one. It was Kroger. But
okay, so would you have ever thought of putting it in the old Michelob bottle with the long top and the small or the long bottom and small top? Just to spite people and put in like with that old. You remember that ribbon on top of a Michelob that you would have to like rip off at your in your dad's thing and just drink it. Wouldn't that be so much fun? Like that would win everybody over.
Yeah,
because, I would think he needs to do more Vortex bottles.
I was gonna say because we don't get crap for wax dipping at all.
Do you?
Oh my god!
Wow, I heard you roll your eyes there. I was gonna say, to be honest though, I think you guys were the inspiration for us to try to do a wax tip of Bud Light. And,
that's awesome.
I was involved.
No, this was like the Ferndale.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and put hands away from.
I think the Great Lakes Roasting Flying Buffalo is very considerate because it has that little tab that's right up there. You just tap it off.
I threw mine away. It comes
off real easy.
Yeah, we.
I'm like freaking Wolverine.
So Kroger basically put you guys in bottles.
Yeah, no, they wanted a certain package, and there's a demographic also that we were missing. So if you go to a bar, a lot of bars and restaurants still won't carry cans. Especially if they consider themselves high class. So we
but don't all bars sell pint glasses, which goes perfectly with the can.
Right. Well, you know,
they, fuck you.
A, most bars are breaking their glasses every day.
Decision makers are decision makers, not me. So we it's kind of what we went for. We're, it's us again in our attempt of throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Can I ask you about a certain restaurant in Oxford, or should save that for later?
For what?
We do have a minute before a break.
There's a place in Oxford that you made an Irish beer about.
An Irish beer.
Yes.
So should we talk about that, or should we just leave that for off?
Sure, why not? That's fine.
Please tell us about the Sullivan's Irish Ale.
You mean the Sullivan's Pale Ale?
Yeah, why did you guys make that?
They came to us. They're a good account, and so we said, yeah, that's fine.
Is there more to that, or is it just like...
No, I mean literally. Jerry from them basically said, "Will you make us a beer?" And I said, "That's fine." Like that's literally the conversation, point blank.
Dude abides. Done. Like, I mean, there it is.
If Bar Louie came to you and said, "Would you make us a Bar Louie lager?"
We make a beer for buddies. We make a beer for Pizza Popolis too. So
well, I hate to cut buddies. You off.
Okay. I don't want the pizza. I'm sorry.
We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
Five questions.
And we are live. Episode number 80 of the Better on Draft podcast.
For Perriman.
Segment 3, we are live. I made
Jerry
sure. Double checked.
Jerry Rice.
I have no idea.
Is he having a stroke over
it's the Baseball Tonight music?
Just for that, you lose Brett Perriman. This is now the Chris Carter episode. Because all he does is catch touchdowns.
Oh, gosh.
Except when Randy Moss is... All right, so.
Yeah, shut up. Chris Carter's...
So, question number 1.
Hall of Famer.
What geography. Is the category of geography? Yeah, it is a geography. All right, so the NFL, the only thing that's really going on right now is the NFL draft. It will be
Thursday.
No,
one week from tomorrow. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Technically, it is 1 week from tonight, too.
Yeah, it's Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday.
So it's going to be in a city that's not usually New York. It used to be always in New York. Last year, it was in Chicago. What city is the NFL draft in this year?
Yes, you can.
Yes, of course you can.
It's if you know the answer, go for it.
Oh, it's Philly.
Philly.
We're going with
I'm going to go with him.
It is Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Right. Besides.
so that everyone will get mad at what they choose.
Donovan McNabb just comes out for every pick.
Exactly.
We want Ricky Williams. Yeah, that would work out. Every day.
That's Charles Rogers.
Second, huh?
Jeez.
All right, so another big thing is going on is the playoff. There's the playoffs and the
playoffs?
NBA.
Yeah, the hockey playoffs.
There's the NBA playoffs going on.
Who's that?
There's the NHL playoffs going on.
Yes.
Yeah. But more importantly, there are the AHL playoffs.
Thank you, God, you were going to mention the AHL playoffs. Thank God.
So
that's one Michigan team that made it.
In honor of... Our guest, the Red Wings affiliate, has a mascot that is unique. What is the AHL affiliate?
The Griffin.
Is it the Grand Rapids Griffins?
Hey. It is the Griffin Claw Griffins, yes.
By the way, you will not find Griffin Claw in Griffin's Arena. Van Andel Arena. We tried.
Yeah. Aww. I wouldn't doubt it.
But you do have some like non-carbonated beverages in front of you if you'd like to put it in.
Question 3.
Hold on.
Son of a bitch.
So we were talking Everlast during the break.
What, he forsings the Blues,
yes.
Maybe?
So Everlast... technically Eric isn't Schroeder. Touring. House of Pain is touring right now.
On purpose? Do they know they're doing that? Or they're just being...
I mean, what else do they have to do?
They're just touring in Wisconsin.
Are they just being like evicted from house to house, from city to city?
Like, I see Buffalo, New Jersey, Boston. It says Irving Plaza. I don't know where that is technically. Yeah, so apparently House of Pain is touring in 2017.
Again, do they know they're doing that, or are they just being evicted and planning to leave?
Couldn't it just be like the TBS show and just have Alan Payne just show up and just do a one-man show or some shit?
So there's a beverage behind the music.
Yeah. All right, so there is a beverage in front of all of you. It's delicious.
It's just...
Fuck you.
I really hope it makes Rob...
Is this syrup?
I mean, exactly what I said in the break.
Is this Franzi?
This just...
I was thinking that too.
Are we drinking
box
wine in this fucking studio? What the fuck?
Dude, it looks and smells like bachelorette party.
It's cough syrup, man.
Guessing by how much is in every cup, too. I mean, it came in a larger package.
I'm seriously afraid to take a sip right now.
I know. I like you. I kind of like what you said. I would put some water in, shake it up, get Motus.
Dude, did you spit in this? I see this.
Not yet.
All right. So
none of my food is
I'm introducing question number one just because I'm pretty sure I already know what it is.
I know what you know what it is, Ken. So this is for the show.
So I have no idea what it is. I didn't see
it. I'm pretty sure you know what it is. So this is for the rest of the show.
If I'm wrong, then I'm on the wrong train. But is this a product of Seagram's?
It is not.
Oh.
And Ken's dreams have been shattered.
I thought it was Seagram's Black Cherry.
Oh, no. This is much funner.
I can't do it.
This is so
fun. I can't.
Have you tried it yet?
It tastes like candy.
No, I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, Kyle, are you getting ketchup notes in here?
No, what I'm getting is diabetes.
I wish we had a camera so you could see Ken spinning out all over the board.
I was just looking at it. I mean, it basically it just looks like somebody just took a shitload of beets and just ran it through a Vitamix, threw a little water in there.
I was gonna say, it does taste like a little triple X.
I mean,
triple X.
It's DwightSchrute.com. Nick, have you tried it yet?
No, I can't. I'm trying to work up the courage. Come on, Nick.
It's okay, I swear.
Oh, God.
Do you have good dental insurance?
I actually do. Okay, good. I actually have a cleaning next
week. Wait a minute.
For DZE.
Is this the stuff they put on your teeth just as they start to polish?
Yeah, they're like, what flavor do you want? What flavor do you want when you shove a giant knob in your back of your throat?
What? Oh.
All right, okay, hold on. Wait.
I think the issue, I can't, there's...
Okay,
no,
it's not as bad as I thought.
You did not.
What?
I guarantee you this is Steel Reserve flavors.
Oh my God. Are we drinking Steel Reserve on this fucking show?
Did you just pop my Steel Reserve cherry?
So this isn't obviously
the
original.
Kind either.
Wait a minute. I mean, sure it's that? Or because I remember we had talked about it before that there was the whole... what the hell was it? Was it like from Labatt where they had the triple X cherry stuff?
No, I don't think it's triple. I guarantee. Can we
get some tasting?
It tastes like black cherry licorice.
We're an audio medium, so can we get some flavor notes for our listeners to just what? How bad does this taste?
The mouthfeel is syrup.
Yeah, syrup.
It's
okay.
It's not as bad as syrup,
but it's not as heavy as
there's
syrup.
There's no carbonation.
If it was like you cut
the syrup with water.
This is a single that you would find at your party store. So would you pay $2 to $3 for this beverage?
I would.
It basically tastes like somebody just took a 2 liter of Rock and Rye and had a 2 pound bag of Twizzlers and just threw it in there and
what
let it sit for a month.
Why are you going to do Rock and Rye dirty like that?
Fago it.
Because somebody did Rock and Rye dirty with this.
Rock and Rye is the dirtiest thing ever. Rock and Rye is garbage. I hate Red Pop.
You're also serving us purple drinks.
All right, can you turn his mic off now for real? Because he hates Red Pop.
I don't think this is Bud Light Mixtails because I don't taste... Because the Mixtails is... Hurricane, Long Island, and there's a third one that I can't think
Firewalker,
of.
Which is the cinnamon. You are so far away. I'm going to give you a third question tonight.
See, this is so...
So it's not like... I guess question two would be, it's not Steel Reserve?
This is not Steel Reserve.
What?
So far away.
I'm so confused.
I have no idea.
I'm actually kind of shocked that Ken... I thought Ken would have this on point immediately.
Does Hawaiian Punch have a malt liquor that we're not aware about?
I don't understand why you think I'd have it on point though.
When it comes out of my pants, you'll see.
As opposed to your pink bag,
it's a cooler, not a bag.
I mean, it's
your
like,
fiance gave you that bag, didn't
he? Actually, as he
knocks cans around,
this was at my house because she has moved in, so I just took a cooler bag that I needed.
Sure.
See, it's not even it's like the Spartan brand Rock and Rye, like they just dress it up in the same Spartan colors. and called it like Rick and Reese.
Rick and Reese lives down the street.
Rick Reese and them.
I'm offering a third question to you people.
I have no idea. If it's not in the Seagram's family and it's not in the Steel Reserve family, it's a single you can find.
Dude, I'm trying.
I've never seen the single in the door, so it's new. Let's put it that way.
Oh, it's new. Oh, then I'm...
You can, like, kind of get in the ballpark. I mean, the flavor should be, like... Descript enough.
I mean, it's selectively messing with my lectures.
So, does Robitussin make their own singles?
Right?
This is.
Hey, oh.
They might. Are they going to rub some tuss on it?
I
got a hangover.
I got a couple cuts on my hands. I'm about to rub a little bit on it and see what happens.
I think Nick has an idea. But yeah. But he said it was so far away. So, if it's not Seagram's, it's not.
Wait. It's not Four Loko, is it?
That would be a question.
Because Four Loko has those bar series now.
See, and there was a thing about him specifically mentioning me and how I would absolutely love this.
Let's go for it. Is this a Four Loko branded item?
No.
This is not a Four Loko item.
I think the only option is it's got to be a Mike's or something because I can't think of any other.
I was
kind of
thinking Mike's too, but
no idea.
All right, here's the fun. This is not a Mike's.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Is you said I would know what it is,
You would know what it is. I'm sorry. I thought Ken had this from the jump street.
I thought I did too, and then you said it wasn't Seagram's, and I was like, well, shit.
Is this Reds?
Actually, Reds came out with a strawberry on the wicket.
Well, they also have a black cherry.
Is this supposed to be frozen?
No, I think this would be better frozen than it is currently. But
it's like a margarita mix, you think?
Yeah, like a daiquiri mix? Like a melted, those little pouch things. Yeah.
This is not, I have a. This is not my person. This is
it's
can.
In the wrong area.
Yeah, so. that would be inappropriate. It
leans a lot to the left.
It's not the tumor.
Can we get a guess?
All right.
Oh. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm not like Nick and I are like both looking up brands and ideas.
I'm seriously breaking the rules right now.
It's not Mike's. It's not Seagram's. It's not Steel. It's not Four Loko.
Is it Edge?
Edge. Juice.
Ken, what's your favorite? What's your favorite, Ken?
Hey, that's
what's my favorite. What
your favorite flavored beers are?
It's OE.
You've drank one of these.
My favorite brown ales.
Sparks.
Ken, you've drank one. We've ridiculed you for this beverage.
It's not a Limerita.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's a Cranberita or whatever it is.
No way. Show us the can.
We've already guessed so many things.
Oh, the Grape-a-rita.
Grape-a-rita.
A Grape-a-rita.
Were you trying to make a black joke?
Actually, Jack Zatuna gave this to me 2 weeks ago. Zatuna Liquor at Rochester Road, just south of 59. He gave that to me for free just to make fun of you guys.
You know what you won't see that at? North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. They will not hurt your gullet with a Grape-a-rita.
Is there anything in the docket for a grape beer at Griffin?
It's called wine, bitch.
We have white grape.
White grape?
Sour wit white grape aged in Chardonnay barrels.
All right, so question number four.
But nothing like a Grape-a-rita.
No, like my gums are bleeding.
Question number four. I don't know if you've heard about this. At Safeco Field in Seattle, the Mariners have a new hit on their menu. They have sold 18,000 chili lime chapolines.
You know what the hell is
chapolines?
What is a chapoline?
I don't know. It sounds like you're saying breaking or. The broccoli?
Chopper broccoli. Have you guys not heard about how fast Seattle is selling their concessions?
No.
There is something that's on the Mariners menu that is just flying off the shelves. They've sold
sushi.
sushi.
Well, it's Fresh Fish Market.
They actually do sell sushi.
And Ichiro Suzuki.
That's true. Ichiro. Ichiro.
Chapulines is Spanish for grasshoppers.
What?
Huh.
They are selling fried grasshoppers
hot dogs
at Safeco Field in Seattle, and they have sold out every single day.
That's some protein right there.
That's all protein.
Damn right.
It's a little crunchy, crunchy, crunchy.
Helps you with your day drinking.
Get a little dip that in some dark chocolate.
Question number five is more of like a debate question.
God, the photo of those chapulines. Hold on. Hold the phone.
That's a cup of awesomeness right there.
They're like
little, nom nom nom.
Oh.
They're like brown French fries.
I mean, I'm not looking at them.
They're grasshoppers.
So it's like, anyway. Question number five is popcorn. Today's April, 21st?
21st.
So 20.
My sister's birthday.
Happy birthday, sister.
What's so funny is I'm checking in Miller Lite on Untappd because Matt's drinking Miller Lite, and I see I've checked it in 50 times. I drink a lot of Miller Lite.
You're welcome. So, like,
tacos de chapulines.
And, you know, this is where Kyle can kind of come in. So I'm going to try to bring it back to the debate of the show. There's never a spring seasonal anymore. Like, the only spring seasonal you'll ever see.
Sam Adams.
Is Cold Snap. But beer goes from the Christmas season or the winter season right into the summer season. There's no, like, they say that the shortest season is the winter, is the fall where Oktoberfest comes out. But there's literally no spring season. Like, there's, I mean, Oberon comes out.
Smitten.
Oberon comes out in March. So why is there... Why do we think as a show that there is no ever a spring seasonal?
Personally, I hate specific seasonals. Mm. So, like, we have Scream Pumpkin for the fall, and we have Three Scrooges for the winter. And we're actually debating getting rid of, like, the whole moniker of Three Scrooges. The beer itself is fine, but Three Scrooges tends to have, like, a very Christmas-oriented
To be fair, I think you should get rid of the Scream Pumpkin too, but I mean, you have a great can.
It's too, like, in bed, like, it's embedded. It's too, we sell so much of that.
So in regards to, like, spring, like, spring's obviously the like, season of saisons.
There's
like,
there's no beer that has ever taken over, or like when you think of summer, you think of summer shandy. When you think of the fall, you think of St. Adam's Oktoberfest. When you think of the winter,
when I think of spring, I think of Oberon.
I think of Obi.
I don't really think the masses do, though. I think they're just like, because that's March, though. But what are you going to drink in January and February?
As a rave person, my paycheck, says Obi, was great for that first, like, month. That was fantastic.
But what are you going to drink? Like,
for a second, I thought you were, like, rave, like,
yeah. A lot of ecstasy and pacifiers. It was fine.
Like, going to Electric Forest this year or something?
Yeah, dude.
No, it's the Sonic Forest. Sonic Forest, our whole ability to love you now. Oh, he's in. Sorry.
We should have videotaped that, whatever that was.
Thought about it.
But no, so, like, we came out with a fall spring seasonal this year for the first time, and it was our You Figure It Out, which is a milk stout with vanilla and coconut. And it was kind of like our way of transitioning a quote-unquote.
Anybody else want this mean old Tom, by the way?
I might.
Better pour yourself now before I drink it all, because I will drink it all.
So, like, we tried to transition, like, a stout, which is quote-unquote a winter-type seasonal, with coconut, which tends to be more of, like, a tropical
spring-y. I really think we need to find a situation where you can make a beer from January to... Because, like, nobody wants to drink, like, White Christmas or all those December drinks from January and February. So we have to find something.
Why not?
Maybe not us, but somebody needs to find a drink that you want to have in January and February.
All my friends gave up drinking in January.
What? They're not my friends then.
Because they want to lose weight. It's their resolution. And you know what? You can drink Michelob Ultra, which is the same calories and all that carbs and Miller Lite.
Drink Truly.
Let's say I drink every weekend.
No, it's the White Claw. The White Claw is a lot better.
Right? I drink every week and I lost 6 pounds.
Same for the weekend. So that's what I got to do.
But, like, there needs to be a situation. There needs to be a early year.
Well, what? So, like, we've actually had internal talks about this literally this morning. Since we're making our quote-unquote spring seasonal that we had this year, year-round beer next year, I was thinking about, like, what a Berliner.
Yeah, but the thing, like, Mr. Blue Sky, mm-hmm. it's a good beer, mm-hmm. but to me, I'm going to be rude for a second. It's like candy corn. What? I try it every year.
I love candy
and corn. I never like it. Really? Like, I always think, oh, this is a great beer. I'm going to like it. And I taste it, and it's just like candy corn. Like, shit, I don't really like this.
You're very angry.
That was my little thing. Like, damn. Mr. Blue Sky, it looks good. It looks. It's a great can. It's got a great thing. I never like Mr. Blue Sky on my taste buds.
Matt Bush is a lot different at 7 o'clock than he is at 8:45.
I'm learning this, which is fine, because Mr. Blue Sky is also my actual favorite beer from Griffin Claw. So
my favorite.
So we're going to fight in the parking lot.
No, we will both shiv and we'll figure it out. We will Aaron Hernandez this shit out.
Oh.
Too soon.
You would be the first one to bring it.
Too soon.
I know.
Just hang in there. It's okay.
Yeah.
What he said.
Wow.
Jeez. All right, let's put that to bed.
Wow.
Incomplete pass. He did not have 2 feet on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Matt.
So there's going to be a Bell's Tap takeover at Brown Iron Brewhouse.
Segway.
Bell's Dinner.
Bell's Dinner at Brown Iron Brewhouse.
Tell us about that, Angela.
On Monday, May 15th, 5-course dinner featuring Black Note.
Ooh.
Should be pretty good.
That's a phenomenal.
I could make
so if we go to this dinner, we get Black Note.
Yes.
What else do we
get?
And
blacked out.
We're going to have the Mars Double IPA, Third Coast Amber Oatsmobile. It's all paired with a different food. Black Note with a brownie, I believe.
That's going to be your dessert course.
Oh, actually, a brownie with salted caramel ice cream and candied bacon.
That sounds terrible. Damn.
Sounds awful. Phenomenal.
Damn.
I don't like sweets.
You might want to make your dentist appointment for that week.
I might.
Well, I'm having it before. So
and remember, Uber drives all the way up to
Washington
Township.
Uber drives where you
want to go. So if I wanted to get tickets, how would I get tickets?
If you go to our Facebook or if you go to Eventbrite, it's through Eventbrite. But
much are tickets?
$55 a person.
Nice.
For how many courses?
Five courses.
So it's a standard meal. I mean, yeah, you can't go anywhere to get dinner. That's not like $18 to $19.
So
you're going to get five meals for like $11.
Five meals,
So I went to I'm sure I saw it on the show's Facebook, Craft Beer Bonanza.
Yeah, you put it there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I got to post the food that we had, and that was only $45.
How close was it to the Yellow Brick Road?
Ouch.
Seriously?
You're an idiot.
I think we've reached our quota for...
Right? I thought that was hour one.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know. I think it reset after the 18 Aaron Hernandez jokes that we went through.
Jeez.
Thanks, Matt.
So what's coming up for Griffin Claw in the next year? Like, you guys got your brew house, just a brew house over at in Rochester Hills. You guys took out one of my favorite Italian restaurants.
Sorry.
used to have...
Eastside Mario's.
It's gone now.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it is.
You go to Livonia.
And Ramshorn.
You go to Livonia.
Ramshorn.
Yeah, get it in Livonia while you can.
Check out my Ramshorn, too. Over
there. Oh, Ramshorn. Sorry.
Are you taking out Livonia, too?
So Rochester Hills is
good call.
We'll be up and running at least by fall.
Is it going to be a tap house, or is everything just going to feed through DFD?
As of right now, we're focused on production just because if you ever come to Birmingham, it's a literal and figurative clusterfuck of just trying to get everything situated in that small building.
What city is it?
Birmingham.
They said it, I didn't. But
Seaside.
Yeah, we have a lot of cool like random specialties that we've been working on for a while because we had to shut down a lot of our production for a while because we're bringing in our 50-barrel brew house literally on Monday. It'll come into our facility, and we're going to have to run our 50-barrel and 17-barrel at the exact same time in Birmingham. So we had to lose roughly 9 fermenters, which takes up a lot of space and takes up a lot of valuable real estate.
So you guys do a lot of, obviously, beers. When are you going to start, like, bottling and, like, marketing your alcohol or your spirit line?
So that's another thing, too. So Rochester will be the focus of the still. So we've been stilling since basically day one, and we've been bottling it all, but only selling it through the brew house. So we didn't really have a focus on it. We were just doing it just so we can put it in the brew pub until it's the same kind of concept as like Raggedy Ass. When it won an award, we kind of like noticed it and said, "Oh shit, we can distribute this and make some, you know, make some really good beer at the same time." So spirits were kind of like a second thought until we won some awards for them, and now we're like, "Oh crap, I guess they're kind of good," and they are really good. And so our bourbon will actually come out next year. It'll be four. We'll be officially 4 years old, and that'll be a four-year-old bourbon. Whiskey, we make, you know, we made Blue Sky into a vodka. We made Screaming Pumpkin into a whiskey. We made cucumber vodka. We make a lot of random stuff at the same time.
Are they coming under the Griffin Claw name?
Or it'll be Griffin Claw.
Griffin Claw vodka.
Yeah. Internally, we have Griffin Claw vodka, Griffin Claw grain vodka, potato vodka, gin. All that. So, but that'll be a kind of focus, and down the road, it won't be necessarily. I'm not going to guarantee it's going to be 2018. I don't know. Maybe might be 2019. Who knows? We're gonna do it right. We're not going to rush it. So, see what happens and kind of go with it.
So let's bring this all back and talk about Griff Club here.
For sure.
Let's talk about where you are right now, like with your liquid, compared to the, let's call it the big boys, the Bells and Founders, where do you find yourself? Are you top 5, top 10, top 20?
So in-state sales last...
Top 250.
True story. He's not lying.
Everyone else.
Well, no, there's 100 more behind that. so we in-state sales last year, they're technically the year before because all the numbers are a year behind. So it went Bells and Founders are now considered, not even considered microbreweries anymore. They're considered breweries. So it went Shorts number 1, Atwater number 2, number 3 and number 4 were New Holland and us, like basically at the same tier.
So you guys are like breaking the top 5. Like you've only been around for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we'll turn 4 in July.
So you guys are like, it's kind of new. Like it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, we've been around, we've like grown there.
So like the first year we did 9,000 barrels. Second year we did 14, and this last year we did roughly 19.
So personally, I always put you in the same category as Perrin, just because I kind of like you guys both came up at the same time. Correct. How do you guys like? Do you measure yourself with that competitor, or do you just say, you know, what it is, what it is?
So Perrin's a cool story. So Perrin, like if you go to the west side of the state, there's Perrin handles everywhere, and there's still a lot of Perrin handles over here too. But it's the same kind of concept where Perrin's really focused on the west side, and we're really focused on the east side, and the other side of the state is still a focus for each, but yet the handles dwindle comparatively to each other side. But Perrin has a really good backing in Oscar Blues and Cigar City now, and they have that whole concept. I mean, I had Highlight in freaking Comstock Park, which is crazy. But
Highlight's garbage, by the way. it's not a good IPA.
It's like no comment.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Tell beer advocate.
There's like 100 better IPAs than Highlight.
But
I traded it on purpose.
But no, I mean, Perrin's a good example. We really don't compare ourselves to a lot of stuff. I mean, people will naturally compare, but I mean, we are what we are, and so we're going to continue to be.
Let's talk about Griffin Claw as a whole.
Okay,
where can we find? Where is Griffin Claw? If you want to go to the brewery, where is it?
So we're on Eaton Street, in between 14 and 15 Mile, just east of Woodward in Birmingham, Michigan. Second facility is Rochester Hills, that'll open in the next couple months, which is Crooks and 59.
So where can we find your beers? Like how do like. A lot of people go to their beer store or locally, their favorite guy, and they say, we just heard on the radio that we want that Griff Claw's new thing. What do we ask for?
If we're not in any store that you are, tell them to get their shit together. But no, we're anywhere that Miller is sold. That's point blank. Any store that has Miller Lite should have us.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I should sell that too, so I get it together. So, if you're not in Michigan, we have a decent amount of people that aren't in Michigan. How can they get Griffin Claw outside of the state of Michigan?
Get ready to get the rest up.
Yeah, as I say, you got to come to the Great Mitten State, y'all. I guess wait. I mean, we'll eventually go out of state, but as it is right now, no, not right now.
So, what is worth a trade? So, you have a can of fresh Griffin Claw in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to trade that fresh can for? And like, is there something out? Like, you've traveled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want that's not in Michigan that you want to trade a Griffin Claw?
Dude, I mean, I'm still in my East Coast phase, so any Treehouse Trillium, dude, I'll take it. But I still, I mean, sure, you got Pliny the Younger. I'll take that stuff too.
So
let's not get too greedy, okay?
I am a greedy
bastard. Would you trade a High Life for a Griffinclaw or two? I would say it's like four High Lies to one Griffinclaw.
No, I'm good.
High Life apparently isn't that good.
I know, it's great. Don't get me wrong.
High Life is garbage.
Dear Lord.
It's not. It's garbage.
It's butt lick IPA.
It's not.
Okay. So that's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft Podcast. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Brown Iron Brew House over in Washington Township.
Zatuna Liquor
over in Rochester Hills.
North Center Brewing
over in Northville, Michigan. As well as don't forget to check out Schoolcraft College, the brewery and distillery program. We are official. We have all of our sponsors in. We are going to be donating $2,000 into a scholarship.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to run off the names real quick. Eastern Market, Farmington Brewing, Drafting Table, Downey, North Center Brewing, Ellison, Axel, the Michigan Brewers Guild, and Atwater Brewing, as well as ourselves. We put in our own money. So if you're interested in getting a certificate in brewing and distilling, definitely check out Schoolcraft. Rich Weinkoff over there, as well as Tom. Great knowledge. Great to be had. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.